because it's a sweet message that we have to share, the message of Jesus Christ. We've already heard about the solitary life, the one solitary life that changed the world forever. And I'd like to read a passage from Scripture this evening that speaks about that life. It's a very, very familiar part of the Old Testament. The words that I'm about to read were penned by the prophet Isaiah some 700 years before Jesus was born. And as I read this, I want you to notice and pay attention to the detail that Isaiah speaks about Jesus and all the things that Jesus would do. As Jesus' life would lead from the manger to the cross, where he would give his life to save each one of us. So I'll read from Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 6, reading in the name of our Lord. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of a dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our iniquities. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Amen. So, dear friends, Jesus was born for each one of you. He was born for all of us. Each one of us have struggles in life. Maybe this year, your pathway has led you down a road that you're not proud of. Maybe you've dealt with addiction. Maybe you've dealt with things in your life that have caused you pain due to your choices and the consequences of your choices. Maybe this year you've dealt with loneliness as you've lost a loved one, or as you've dealt with some other loss. Maybe your pathway this year has brought new challenges to your life with your health, or with your finances, or with relationships of your family and friends. Or maybe your life is going great. Maybe you're doing just fine. And your struggle is that you look around and you see other people who are going through things in their lives, and you wrestle with the question, why them and not me? Maybe you feel like your life is going in no particular direction at all, and you feel like you're wandering aimlessly through life, and you feel like you're a cork bobbing along in the rough seas of life, and you're barely staying afloat. If any of these things sound familiar to you, or if any of this resonates with you, things that maybe you are dealing with in your life, this is the reason why. Is because what Isaiah said here in the scripture is exactly right. That we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We've all turned to our own way. But did you hear what else Isaiah said? He said, but the Lord has laid on him, on Jesus, all of our iniquity. So how much of it? He said, all of it. Every single bit of it, for all time. So that extends even to our day and age, to the year 2024. And, Lord willing, if next year comes, it's going to go into 2025 as well. That's the promise we have in Jesus, our Savior. So we all celebrate Christmas in different ways, don't we? We have different traditions we do. We cook different foods. We have different family gatherings. We have different music we like to listen to. We all have things that we say, it wouldn't be Christmas if it wasn't for this. You know, for me, growing up especially, it was like when Grandma sent us a gift box full of all kinds of goodies. She had peanut butter balls and peanut brittle and all kinds of goodies that she would send. We waited for that. And it wouldn't be Christmas if that didn't come. Each one of us has those things in our lives. And they all are different. And you find that out, and I found that out when I got married, because we have different traditions growing up. And you find out, okay, we celebrate this differently, and we have to find out how we're going to do this now with our family. So we all are different in many different ways. But do you know the one thing each one of us has in common? It's what we just heard about. That all of our iniquity was placed on Jesus Christ, God's Son. And he went to the cross for it. And that, my friends, is what we celebrate this Christmas. That's what we raise our voices in song and praise. We join our voices together to worship and to adore our Savior. Because we have that in common, every single person. Our Savior, who came so many years ago, and he went from the manger to the cross, and he came to give each one of you salvation. So may God richly bless each one of you and give you a very Merry Christmas. Amen.
Wow. A preacher that lived up to his word, keeping it short. Let's continue in Jesus' name. You know, we're loved immensely, more than we can even understand. I don't think we quite grasp it all the time, how loved we truly are. This one solitary life, Jesus the Christ, he surrendered everything. And that's what that poem speaks about, that he surrendered everything, very personally. Jesus gave up all his rights for you and I, for this world. I'm going to take a part of scripture, and it's not generally one that you read at Christmas, but I think it has a very strong meaning to it. I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and I'm going to read verse 9, reading in Jesus' name. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word tonight and every night henceforth. Amen. You know, in the beginning, Jesus has always been there. Oftentimes we think he's just a created being, but yet we understand and know the Trinity, that he is God, Emmanuel, God with us. Even the Gospel of John opens very strongly in chapter 1 with that understanding. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That's a very powerful statement. It shows us that Christ Jesus was there from the very beginning, and he knows all of the creation. He in reality knows you. He knows me. He knows each and every one of us. So Jesus has always been, and John here speaks of Jesus always being with God, and all things made through him. Jesus, as the second part of the Trinity, as we call it, is reality the creation of all value. What do we count as value? This is not for your neighbor. This is not for anybody else. What do you count as value? Yet for our sake, Jesus Christ gave up all things for us. We have a tendency to measure all things in earthly values, don't we? And maybe you are going to be religious today and say, no, But tomorrow morning, you're going to value a lot of the gifts that are under the tree. Next week, we're going to value it according to our credit card statement. There's a lot of things that we'll go through. And so when we think of the rich, we often only think in terms of money, each and every one of us. Forbes has a rating that they put out every year, the 100 richest people. The top five are pretty amazing. I bet the younger people here could actually name most of them. Number one is whom? Anyone? Elon Musk. $454 billion. Jeff Bezos, number two. $242 billion. Larry Ellison, $217 billion. Mark Zuckerberg, $210 billion. We can't even think of these numbers in our brain. Bernard Arnault, $160 billion. That's the top five. Then we also have Steve Jobs. We all know him from Apple. He was worth around $9 billion when he died because he sold out early. If he didn't sell out and if he was still alive, he would probably be the richest man. He would be worth at least just with his Apple stocks at the time when he had them, $330 billion. But if you know anything about him, he passed away at 56 years old. But even at $9 billion, he wasn't poor. But how much did he leave behind? All of it. I heard somebody say that. He left all of it. Elon will leave it all. Jeff Bezos will leave it all. Wealth is much more than money or material things. Steve Jobs had quoted, he said, "Being the richest man in the cemetery doesn't matter to me. Going to bed at night saying we've done something wonderful, that's what matters to me." And I know he's an earthly man. I know this is talking about earthly things, but we have to understand this is how we often think. This is how our youth thinks. In the Godhead, Jesus was extremely wealthy. He was rich in possessions. He created everything. Even when Jesse stands up in his pride and says, "I do well, I build things, or I do this or this or this," who gave me that ability? It is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is God the Father that has given us the ability to even do what we do. Whether we acknowledge it or not, he was extremely rich in honor. All of creation worshipped and praised him. It owed its existence to him. We owe our existence to him. He was rich in power and authority. When he spoke, things were created. When he spoke, things happened. He's rich in love. All loved him. His Father loved him. He was rich in happiness. There was no pain, no cross, no betrayal. But Jesus gave it all up for each and every one of us. He truly did. He emptied of himself of his right to save the human race. That's what Scott was sharing with us. That he did all of these things for you, for me, for the world. He wasn't made poor. He became poor. Jesus willingly gave up everything for us. This is what I mean when I say we are loved beyond what we can even understand. We are loved beyond our circumstances. In our fallen nature, we could never achieve his status. So he came to us. He came to us. Jesus had what he needed. Sometimes I wish we could have godly contentment. He was not rich in earthly things when he was here. That wasn't his precedence. But he had clothes to wear. That was his only earthly possession, even as we heard in the solitary man that they gambled for them. He had food to eat. Yet he was poor. He took that upon himself. He even quotes, he even says in the scripture, "Foxes have holes and birds have nests, yet the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." So he didn't own a home. Look to the birth of Jesus. We get romantic about the manger scene. But there was no hospital. There was no palace. There was no marble floors. There was no tapestries on the wall. He was born in a manger. When Jesus was presented at the table as an infant, the temple as an infant, as the law of Moses commanded, his parents gave two pigeons. That's the poorest sacrifice that you can offer. A great sacrifice would have been a lamb, but it was expensive. When Jesus wanted a coin to show the example between the Herodians and the Sadducees, he asked for a coin and asked, "Whose superscription is this?" He didn't have one. When Peter went to pay tax for him and Jesus, he came to Jesus with a little bit of panic. And Jesus says, "Go fishing. The first fish that you catch, open its mouth, and there will be a coin there to pay the tax for you and I." Another example also of God's provision. He had enough. But it wasn't about wealth, as we see it. And when he gave his life, and he died, he was buried in a borrowed tomb. Do we see the love that God has for each and every one of us, that he surrendered everything in our behalf? Christianity is not a game. Religion of men is a game. Christianity is a living spirit in our life that encourages and strengthens and gives us peace in a confusing world. Who would choose poverty when you had the ability to be rich? It'd be like winning the Powerball that everybody's getting all excited over and getting that winning ticket for $200 million and never cashing it in. He had the ability. The one who could walk on water? The one who could turn water into wine? The one who could heal the lame? If it was about wealth of this earth, he could have turned stones into gold. But that's not why he came. Which one of us wouldn't skip parts of our life if we could? Which one of us as an adult would want to go back to our junior high days? But he came into this world not as an adult, but as an infant. He surrendered everything for you. This is your God. Jesus gave himself for our sake. For all believers, this is effectual. God is the giver. He's generous. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. What an example for each and every one of us. That by his poverty, we could become rich. His poverty makes him open and accessible to all people. Have you ever thought about that? What is the purpose? Often, with very rich people, we can be intimidated by their status. Our world gets delusional about money. We often get crazy around wealth. Wealth can build walls between people, and it also builds up different classes. How do you feel when you have to go talk to somebody who's extremely wealthy? Would you feel comfortable? Or would you be uncomfortable? And I ask this question because we probably have no issue talking to somebody that's poorer than us. We could talk with them. Not many of us would have an issue at all dealing with someone that's poor. But Jesus came in this way. In this very humble, non-threatening way. So that we could approach him. To tell you the truth, if you drove here tonight, you're wealthier than Jesus put himself on this earth. Because even when he went into Jerusalem, he borrowed a donkey. He surrendered everything for us. Is it nothing for you who passes by? Do you see the banner over there? He surrendered everything for us. Not just wealth, but his life. He gave his life. Having access to Jesus, we are given the opportunity for great riches, more than you can ever imagine. Trusting in him, we turn from this world full of temporary fillings, because that's what they are. Temporary fillings. And we receive a treasure in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt it, do not rob it, do not steal it. So this Christmas season, I'm going to do something earthly. I'm going to ask you to remember what Steve Jobs said. Being rich, the richest man in the cemetery, doesn't matter. Going to bed at night and saying we've done something wonderful, that's what matters. Go to bed tonight and ask your Lord to reveal himself. Many may ask, what do we do to do the works of God? Jesus answers very powerfully, what do you do to do the works of God? He said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. Jesus has done something wonderful for you. But do you know it? That's what this Christmas season is about. I took off from here yesterday. I'm heading across the bridge, and I felt my anxiety level going through the roof to the point of I didn't even know why. I was worried about getting food. I was worried about getting gifts. I was worried about making sure this service is perfect, and it's not going to be. That's not what Christmas is about. It's about the fellowship. It's about the joy. It's about the love, and it's about understanding the greatest gift that was ever given to this world. It's about a solitary life that impacts us each and every day. It is about the love of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus really has done something wonderful for you. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let's close in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you for this opportunity to gather together this evening. We thank you, Father, for the blessings that you pour out on us in our life. And Father, even when we don't understand and know that you're working in our lives, you continually keep us safe. You continually keep us provided for. And yes, Father, there are losses and there are difficulties. There are those struggles that we go through. But we never go through them alone. So we pray that you would open our eyes, that you would open our ears, that you would open our hearts and allow us to see that you have done wonderful things and continue to work in our lives. We pray once again that you would be with our nation, that you'd be with our world. But tonight, Father, we even ask that you would be with our families. We ask it all in his name. Amen.
Now lift up your heads and hearts and receive the Lord's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you everlasting peace. Amen.